Hello.
I need a new intro when I'm by myself because
yo,
these little shaky hellos, I be sound like a like a fucking.
Hi, how you cool, Pastor?
Oh hell no, I ain't on that type of time. That ain't me at all.
No,
I don't want to sound programmed, but I like, I don't know. People be having cool introductions.
I don't really be liking that either, but it's kind of like.
But I'm like also.
Like,
my little hello.
Right.
It fits me so much because I'm that awkward of a person. Like, it's truly who I am. But hello, guys. It is Nye. I'm here today with my friend Cheyenne.
What's poppin'?
We're gonna chop it up for a little bit. But first and foremost, like I always say, I hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're staying safe, wearing your mask, eating your elderberry vitamins, having your elderberry syrup. Yeah, you never had elderberry before?
No. What's that?
Bitch, it's a vitamin. Look
elderberry?
It up.
Elderberry?
Yes.
All right.
Your sea moss, your black seed, all that. Hope y'all getting your vitamins in. Stay healthy in this fucking pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Hope y'all still creating, doing all you gotta do, being true to yourself and all that good shit. So,
also, monitor your mental health. Because, you know, we're all cooped up in the houses and stuff like that, so...
I'm not cooped up in the house, bro. I'm out here
well,
flying
with
like
some
a bird.
People,
I'm finna fly south for the winter, because...
Oh with some people, though, you know, everybody doesn't have that luxury to just... Some people are still out of work and stuff like that, so...
If you out of work, and you ain't found nothing to do this from the pandemic,
yeah.
You're irresponsible. You're fucking responsible. Whoever you are, if you didn't get anything to do yet, and this, we've been in this bitch since fucking March. Like, I'm not saying you gotta have a new business or something, but if you haven't found a way to, like, entertain yourself yet, uh-huh. You are irresponsible. You don't have to go and find another job to replace the one you had. You could stay at home and collect unemployment.
Mm.
But if you haven't found anything to do...
I don't know.
Irresponsible. What you mean you don't know? That's irresponsible.
Nah, cause
oh, so you telling me if you would have had a job, you'd have been home doing nothing?
Not at all, cause I would have drove myself fucking crazy. I can't be home too long. It's just not me. But you know, certain people have different circumstances. Like, it's a lot going on during this pandemic.
But this far in the pandemic, you should have something to do. Like, you should have come to some sort of.
Right, something.
Something in your head that's like, you know what? I gotta do something else.
Right.
Go to therapy, participate in class, like mm-hmm. something. You should have made those strides. And if you haven't, you're irresponsible. I don't care who it is. My mom, my grandma, my dad. You irresponsible if you have not found something to do yet.
It's not too late, though. I mean, we're still in a pandemic. There's still time. We don't know when this is gonna end. So.
No, it'll definitely come up real quick. But I just... That's a whole other topic. Y'all irresponsible if you... Like I said... If you ain't find them to do yet.
But you know what? I have seen a lot of new businesses, you know, flourishing and stuff like
yeah,
that.
I'm proud
pandemic,
of people.
So.
Even you with your new YouTube page.
Yes.
How's
that in itself is it's a lot. It's definitely a lot. But it's nothing that shocks me because I've already kind of like grasped everything that has to do with the channel and stuff like that. So but actually doing it, it definitely is tiring sometimes. Especially editing. You can edit something for hours for it to only be like 8 seconds. I'm just like, bro, all right. I don't know.
But yeah, nah. Y'all better find something to do. She talking about it's never too late.
It isn't. I mean, we don't know when this is gonna end, so you might as well.
I'm not saying like you saying that it's not too late. I just feel like, okay. We got in this shit in March,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying that you guys have to go by my timeline, but what I'm saying is, we've been locked down from March, shit ain't really opened back up till, like, June.
Yeah.
That's 4 months of what? Like, so what did you do? And I get, like, sometimes it's tough for people to try to figure out shit, and I'm not at all saying that. You know, we all have to be on the same page with shit. What I am saying is you have to be responsible with your time.
Mm-hmm. I know you're though.
That's that on that for me.
Period. She said what she said.
I did. And I don't care who I'm coming for. My grandmother hasn't left her house and, like, has been able... And she's 74 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying that we all have to be on the same page, we all have to be moving at the same lengths and things like that, but like, if she's 74 years old and she can be like, bro, I can't do this, like, I need to invest in myself. Us at 23 and you guys at 43.
I knew it was gonna happen. I just was waiting.
Wow. Excuse that text message there. But it's like we're for the older generation to be sinking, and I'm doing my air quotes, and you know, to be stuck and to try to figure shit out, that's understandable for them. Mm-hmm. Because they really don't have the education and the tools to get up and jump on YouTube and figure out how to do something else and go on Indeed and try to find a job to, you know, substitute what they've been doing and to walk outside and figure that shit out. Mm-hmm. They're also older and they shouldn't be going outside and interacting with people because of how COVID is.
Right.
So for that generation to be in a place of not being able to figure it out is, in my eyes, acceptable. Mm. Anyone under the age of 50, if you are still sitting in a house trying to figure this shit out, you're irresponsible. That's how I see it.
I get you.
Because you can still, at the age of 50, you can figure out YouTube. You can figure out how to navigate your phone. Mm. You're also at a point in life where there are 50-year-olds with iPads and stuff like that who know how to use them. So it's in, you know, the generation before them can do it as well. But it's like, I'm not cutting them a break because they're older, but it's like, they need us. Mm-hmm. We have each other. We don't have to do anything else, you know? Mm-hmm. I hope that makes sense to y'all. But like, you're irresponsible if you've gotten this deep into this with nothing to do still.
Mm-hmm. I mean, anything, guys. Like she was saying, Indeed, go search on Indeed, go look for jobs. Shoot, save some of the unemployment money that you have. Like, go take a class or something like that. Go be.
And
like,
if we get another,
they're definitely looking for that. They're always.
But you also have to know, like, I'm not gonna tell you if you're sitting in the house and you can't figure out what to do to go get a job, because that may not be it. Like, obviously, work on your mental health first. Figure out what it is that you can do and what capacity you can be at with things in the midst of what's going on. But like, you can literally go on nature walks and discuss what you found on your nature walk. Like,
get some fresh air.
Something. Like, you just sitting there still.
Right. Now, I get that this pandemic definitely scares people as well, too. Like, they're scared to go outside and stuff like that because of how it is. But, like I said, like she was saying before, if you take the proper precautions, you should be fine. Social distance, you know, wear your mask, do all that good stuff. But you definitely need, there's different ways to get where you need to go, like, during this pandemic. I know that, you know, socializing isn't at an all-time high right now, or, you know, being around people, but there's different ways to do different things, like, Zoom, all of that, like.
And there's so much happening on social media, like, I'm not trying to be funny, but y'all really sitting at home doing nothing on social media, participate in one of those things in there. Come to a black girl tea party.
Like, y'all better chew y'all got nothing else to do. Like,
well, this isn't going up until later on in the week, but y'all can see the next one for next month. But nah, it's too much going on for y'all to just be home doing nothing.
True.
I'm sorry. You're irresponsible in my book. And if I talk to you in 2022 and I say, what did you do? What did you come out of the pandemic with? Mm-hmm. And you like, nothing. I'm gonna punch you in the face. I'm gonna punch you.
Violence is not
I'm gonna give you. I'm gonna be very angry with you. But that's enough of our pandemic talk. Mm-hmm. We're gonna chop it up today. We're gonna talk about support and the lack of thereof. Right. Because our generation really lacks support. And it's not. We lack support from the oldest generation that's still alive, all the way down to our own generation.
Right.
Family doesn't support us the way they should. Our friends don't support us the way they should. I feel like I should check that text message because I didn't even read it when I went over there. I turned my sound off and I don't know why it's weighing on me right now. Sorry. But like, our family doesn't support us the way that they should. Our friends aren't doing it. Mm-hmm. Our community isn't doing it. Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
I definitely feel like we, especially with the older generation, it shouldn't be them trying to, like, every time we say we want to do something that's creative or we have a business plan or anything like that, it shouldn't be like, oh, you should be more realistic, or, you know, oh, you should just get a job and do this for 40 years of your life and then die type of thing. Like, it should be, you know, I support you, whatever you need. I can shit. It costs nothing to share, like, whatever, tell a friend to tell a friend. It costs nothing at all. And I really just wish that the older generation would be more supportive with stuff like that, especially with this newer generation, with a lot of things like influencers, YouTube, like businesses, anything like that.
So the older generation, they struggle with things for different reasons than why we struggle with things. So they don't know how to support because they didn't have support.
Right.
Which is why... Okay, y'all hear me and Shay talk about this a lot, and we call the generation before us the crack babies. So like, because those are the it's not the whole generation, but those are that age group are the crack babies. Come on, we're just calling the house. But like that era, they turned to drugs when it came to, I need something to get over this. I need something to push me through. I need something to look forward
to. Similar with this generation,
and it was that.
Too.
It was crack. So they genuinely didn't have that. Mm-hmm. Now the crack babies kind of had to raise themselves because it was the whole, you know, well, my mom is strung out on drugs. I got to fend for my family. So they were going to work at very young ages and raising families at very young ages and having to do it for themselves. For then the only support that they would get is the fact of like, girl, you got to get up and do it again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like that's all they knew.
Right.
Then they started having us and the support that like it was... The support that they got from their family wasn't consistent, number one, wasn't healthy. So then they birthed us, which is a generation who is trying to, you know, break the generational curses,
right.
But we're also getting screwed over in the end, which makes it it's a cycle, a very vicious cycle. And I will say, not saying that other generations haven't tried to do it, but I will say our generation is doing amazing with attempting and battling out these generational curses. I think one thing that before we get too deep into the topic for us to understand is that generational curses are not only biological generational curses. There's curses on our generations that go back to, there's shit that I experienced that you won't experience that's a generational curse that trickled down from somewhere else. But I think that's something that we need to understand when we start digging into shit like this, like when it comes to support specifically, like the lack of support is a generational thing. And like they always say, there's nothing new under the sun. A lot of the scenarios that we're dealing with, such as our friends turning on us and, you know, taking over what we had together and bullshitting and all, like that's shit that happened back in the day.
Right.
How many drug dealers from back in the day, and not to be funny by saying drug dealers, but back in the day, drug wards and drug lords were a big thing. And a lot of the times it was your right hand man who took your stash and went and he made it his own. Y'all seen fucking...
Right.
Y'all see, like y'all know what I'm talking about. So like, it's stuff like that. It's a generational thing. And I think where our generation goes wrong is we see how they came up back in the day and we like, oh, he stole his boy shit. Bet. And then now we're all corrupt. But it's like a whole big thing. But
and it's definitely big to recognize those generational curses and try to break them. I feel like even the conversation, like having that conversation with people in the older generation, though, it's really tough because it's kind of like, you know, they've gone along like this so long. And even certain things that they don't really recognize as a problem is a problem. It's kind of like you basically telling them, like, you know, everything that they've learned or been through or whatever is kind of like a lie kind of thing. So it's kind of like a shocking to them. And it's like, you know, some people might accept it and try to change it. But
when it comes to older generation, and it's something that I had to learn the hard way myself, and something that I also like, I would hear other people saying. When it comes to the older generation, we genuinely have to take their experiences, understand them, and take it with a grain of salt. And understand that they are very old and set in their ways. They've also, for a lot of us, this pandemic is like one of the worst things that we've ever had to deal with.
Right.
For them, I think my grandmother has lived through a pandemic before. Right. My grandmother was also an indentured servant. So like she's dealt with so far, like so much more than what we've had to deal with.
Right.
So their sightings on things and their understandings of things, it's not on some like, it's not that they don't want to hear us out, but it's like, you're not going to tell me how hard and shit is when I've had to deal with the worst of it. And it's like us coming up to them like, yo, we ain't got no milk for the cereal. They eat the shit dry. And then we're saying, well, we're talking to them like, oh, well, we want more. We want more. And we want this and this and the third. And they literally look at us and like they ha-ha'd or like they don't want to, how can I say it? Like, it's not that they don't want to hear us out, but it's like you're your 23-year-old self is crying because you don't have milk for your cereal, when my 23-year-old self had to kill a fucking pig so my family could have fucking meat for dinner. So it's like stuff like that. It's like, with the older generation, you really just have to take it with a grain of salt. Like, they don't understand support the way we understand it. And they will never be able to understand it because of what they already endured. And they're at a point in life where they're settling, you know, they're winding down. Like, I keep using my grandmother because I can speak to her, what she's gone through, a little bit better than I can with anyone else. But like, she don't live her life. She'll tell me in the quickness, like, girl, it was hard. And I listen to her stories, and it's hard for them. So for us to present certain things, we want them to understand us just as much as we want them to, you know, vice versa. It's hard for them because they created the path for us.
Yeah.
And niggas all done fucked that shit up. And it's like, I hadn't already created this path for you and you fucked it up. And you want to come to me and talk about what else you need from me? Like, that's what it is with when it comes to that generation. Now, everybody else, dumbasses.
Yo.
But
I definitely get that. And I definitely get where you're coming from with that. Especially when I talk to my grandmother because I'm fairly close to her and everything like that. And she's going through, you know, trying to get her, she's in college currently, you know, getting her psychology degree and everything like that. So she's going through that and she's learning and she's definitely recognizing certain things that's not okay that she was doing. And me just listening to her stories, like just now finding out about a lot of things, like, you know, the abuse that she had to go through and stuff like that, and her dealing with like 5 kids. So it's like, me hearing that, it's like, wow, like, you know, when I do hear older people go on about everything that they did go through back in the day, it's definitely, it's inspiring because it's just like, we are going through something that we never had to deal with, but it's like, you know, looking back on things that they had to deal with, it is kind of like, why are we bitching about this? But at the same time, it's kind of just like, well, we don't know how to deal with this kind of thing. So I feel like really us going to them is just trying to, I guess, figure out how to navigate through certain things. Like, I don't feel like we're just disregarding or anything like that, but I definitely feel like the older generation, like you said, they laugh at it because they've been through so much worse. And I feel like instead of laughing at it, it should be a thing where they not like coddle us or anything like that, but like just deal with it in a better manner instead of being like, oh, like, you're whining about this and da-da-da, like, totally disregarding how we feel and everything like that. Like, I don't like that goes on with the older generation because I don't feel like there's any understanding of both sides when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's just me. I definitely love talking to, you know, my grandmother and stuff that she's been through and trying to navigate certain things. But as time passes, things definitely do change, so how things are dealt with is going to be totally different from how things were dealt with back then. Like, everything is different, like, so, I don't know, but support in that aspect, especially most emotionally, that's another thing that kind of gets me, because it's just like, bro, like, they feel like, you know, as long as they're providing, there's a roof over your head, you get to eat, or whatever the case may be, you have clothes on your back and everything like that, they feel like that's just enough. But it's like, you know, if I'm going through a hard time, and I don't feel like I can even talk to you about how I'm feeling emotionally, because you're going to be like, oh, well, just suck it up type of thing, then it's kind of like, well, you know, I'm still struggling, like, I'm still going through this, and now I feel like, you know, kind of alone, because I can't come to you with, you know, trying to get guidance from you, because you're not really, like, trying to be there for
But
me.
That goes back to, okay, and I think what we as a collective need to understand is that the older generation is not going to change.
Right.
Once we get that through our head, we will stop having expectations, right. We'll stop getting our feelings hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's the generation after them who will, the 60-year-olds and the 50-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I won't even say the 60s. The 50s and under.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to stay there. 50 and under can still do the work. They're just not willing to do it.
Right.
Now, our grandmothers, they're going to be our grandmothers for the rest
right.
of time.
I love my nana.
Walk it out. I like, love my you know, nana. When it comes to how they act and the emotional support, they didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I need people to genuinely understand, like, the older generation did not have what we have.
Right.
In a different sense of our mothers are both in their 40s, didn't mm-hmm. have what we have, but they can still obtain it, and they know the wrongdoing and what was going on.
Right.
My grandmother is 74. She's the oldest girl out of 20-something children. Mm-hmm. Ain't no way you're supporting 24 right. children.
I mean, our mothers and stuff like that.
But I'm just saying it for the fact of the listeners. Like, mm-hmm. the oldest generation, our grandparents cannot support us. Like, they proud of us. Right. They happy. They may be able to give us $20 towards something and $30 mm-hmm. toward whatever, something else. But when it comes to supporting us in an emotional aspect, we mm-hmm. can't expect much from them. Because right. they literally, ask your grandmother, depending on where she grew up, how many days a woman stayed in bed after having a child. And that alone will get you to understand why they lack certain support. Mm-hmm. They didn't get the chance to love and hug their kid because they had to do that with someone else's, the white man's kid. Mm-hmm. So that's why there's a weird detachment with that generation when it comes to support. Right. We love them dearly. Boom, we'll want the next one. We're going to talk about our parents. Our parents feel like because they give us, like she said, a house, a home, clothes, right. and food, mm-hmm. that's all we need. And they're just as emotional detached as the other generation.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, our mothers mm-hmm. they didn't get the love and support that they needed because their mothers couldn't do it because they didn't know how.
Right.
But it's like, sis, you could do the work.
Right.
Like, that's what makes me mad. It's like, you can literally do the work and figure this shit out.
Right.
And you're not.
Exactly.
And that's where I have a problem with that shit.
It's kind of just like, bro, like, and that's another thing too. That's a conversation like that I have with my mother, and she was basically like, you know, we were talking about a couple of things, and she was getting very emotional because she felt like, you know, like, damn, am I turning into my mother that wasn't there for me emotionally and stuff like that. And it's kind of just like, you know, I'm opening up to you with this conversation, and we can have the conversation, but are you willing to do the work? Like, you know how I feel. But are you willing to change what you've been doing so we're not having this same thing, you know? And I feel like you're there for me more emotionally. Right. But if we're just going to have this talk and it's going to be that, and we're just going to move on and you're going to still keep doing the same things, what was the point? You know what I mean? Like, what was the whole point of us even having that conversation if you weren't going to at least try to change or at least try to, you know, put in the work for it? Because I'm trying by opening up.
Right.
And trying to tell you what I feel like, you know, such and such. I don't feel like you're here for me emotionally here. Or I feel like I want you to do this. Or when you do this, it makes me feel like that. But listen to it. You know, it's anybody or not the other. And I'm just like, all right, so whatever.
Cool. No, because sometimes I'll have a conversation with my mom. Like, I'm like, Mom, you make me feel like this. And my mom will give the same blank stare I give people. My mom will give to me like.
Right.
Miss, I'm talking to you. And my mom will be like, okay, like, you know, I'm a work in progress the same way you are. But it's like, she doesn't know how. Mm-hmm. And she knows what she wanted from her mom. And she tries to be that with me. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I require a different love, affection, and support that my mom required.
Right.
So it's like, you're giving me the love that you wanted, but that's not the love that I need. Mm-hmm. And that's something that they also need to realize. Like, the things that I go through are not the same things that you go through.
Right.
Drug use right now is a different type of drug use back in the day. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, as we all know, fame is a drug, and you know, you can be addicted to money and all that type of shit. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's been a thing for all of the lifetimes that people been alive.
Right.
But it's different with our generation now. Our generation will kill, steal, and destroy for a quick come up, a quick 15 minutes of fame, mm-hmm. 15,000 followers on Instagram. And our parents cannot help us navigate through that because they don't understand it.
Right.
But they're just not trying to understand it. And it's like, oh, well, okay, well, my kid's not out here doing those drugs. Bitch, what if I wanted to?
But how would you know? How would you know, though?
It's just like, yo, how would you know what's going on if you don't try to be supportive of things that's happening?
Right. You can think you know your kid, but do you really know your kid, or you just feel like you raised them right? And that could be the case. Like, parents could be raising kids right, and they grow up around certain people, and they get certain influences, and, you know, they go off on a different path. But for the most part, if you just feel like you did a good job, you don't try to check back in, you don't try to, well, actually open that conversation, like, what do you need from me? What can I do for you? Like, what, you know what I mean? Or, you know, when you do this, it makes me feel like that. And that should be on both ends. I don't feel like it should just be the child. You know what I mean? Because parents need that support too. Like, you need somebody, anybody, everybody needs that.
But the same way our parents don't talk to us about, like, why they don't support us, they also don't talk to us about the support that they need.
Right.
Which is a whole another topic of conversation. But I guess the lack of support streams from everyone's child. Well, we always say your childhood is the foundation for how you're going to treat people and for all the other things that are happening in life, which is very true. But like, it goes into friendships. So, you know, we'll just talk and generally about us and then we'll go into stuff. So, I'm gonna use his name. I'm gonna just use Cheyenne since she's in front of me. Cheyenne, this is a hypothetical situation. I'm not telling business. Cheyenne can support me as a friend because she doesn't know what support is because of how it was tossed around in her household. So then when it comes to our friendship, she's a really good friend because we do cool things together, but she can't support me. Like, she won't share my shit on Instagram because whatever the case may be. And I think shit like that is also... Lack of support in a friendship is another big thing. Like, you could literally just support me. You could just, like she said earlier, like, you could literally just share my post, like, reshare my shit on Instagram. It costs nothing.
Girl, let's get into this topic. Like, honestly, and it's really sad because, like, through my journey and my ongoing journey, it's kind of just like, you know, the people that I was surrounding myself with, just didn't have my best interests at heart. Like, it's a lot of people that I've cut off, that I've stopped being friends with because of the fact of, for one, I don't feel like they supported me with a lot of stuff that I wanted to do, you know what I mean? And even, like, my modeling, my YouTube, whatever the case may be, you can see people watching you, but it's kind of just like, damn.
Why if it's you not your dogs, it's not the same.
Right.
It's not the same.
Bro, like, why is it that somebody that I don't even know from a can of paint is supporting me more than somebody that I call my close friend? Like, that's weird to me. That's really weird. Like, I don't get that. And it's like, I'm sitting here, you know, supporting you, anything you got going on. I'm like, yes, follow my bitch, or do this or this and that. And it's like, it's not reciprocated. Like, and that for me was tough for a long time because it was just like, I felt like I was giving out to people and supporting them, whatever the case may be. Like, you know, and when it came to me, none of it was reciprocated. And it really hurt my feelings. And it was just a harsh reality that I had to deal with. And still kind of have to deal with now. Now it's just kind of like, all right, whatever. Like, they don't do it, But it is what it is with that. Like, at this point, I need to be my own support system. I can't let other people not supporting me discourage me from doing what I need to do, type of thing.
Right.
So I need to keep pushing myself. I can't expect
people. But people need to know that it's hurtful.
Right. That is true.
Like, what the thing that's hurtful for me, and I'll speak from a personal thing, like, I hate that some people that I consider friends of mine won't like my shit unless it's someone else sharing it.
Right.
Like, it has to be, for example, I'll use R&B and Jill. I was posting my pictures of my award that whole time, like, excited about it. Very, very proud of myself for getting that award.
Congrats again.
Thank you. But I'm like, wait a minute, because we were shooting in the gym together, and now
Cardi B, that's suspicious.
Right. Like, that's okay, weird. You can share my fly ass outfit, but you can't share my accomplishment.
Right. It's weird.
So the next time you go to the gym, you're gonna be shooting by yourself. Like, and it was hurtful to see, like, shit. But then I seen a complete stranger to me shared it and tagged me in it.
Right.
But y'all shared her post.
Right.
And people were like, oh, well, you know, they shared it. Nah, because I know you saw when I shared it at 6 o'clock that night.
I had a friend, literally. Like,
that shit is annoying.
Tell me, she watched my YouTube channel, all of that. Didn't see a subscribe, a share, no nothing.
Right?
She watched my, like, you watched
the hurtful part about this is, They won't share my shit, but let Beyonce put our 3 pictures back to back. They was all top of all of shit.
Comments and under.
Yo, I post once a day. Once. Like, yo.
Beyonce birthday come up. You all posted.
Yeah, she get a happy birthday. And it's stuff like that. Like, she don't want the birthdays now. I'm a talk about it because she went to birthdays. I absolutely love birthdays. Mm-hmm. I try my best for people, but I start telling people how this year, 2020, mm-hmm. your birthday gift from me reflects the birthday gift you gave me. Like, my birthday for most of my friendships come first. Mm-hmm. All right, bitch, set the tone. But I've seen, like, I get like a little happy birthday red mm-hmm. balloon.
But then
Beyonce don't even know you exist.
To be honest, she already a billionaire. What is she?
I think she's a billionaire.
Yeah, like, girl, she don't need.
She don't know you exist.
She don't need a little fucking.
She's not gonna like your posts.
Right, like, I don't understand how certain things go with stuff like that, and it's just like, wow, like, even with my modeling pictures, for me, like. Just to share or anything, like, you don't know what that could do. You don't know who that could get to or whatever the case may be, but you don't want to do it.
But the minute I get in the spotlight,
right,
that's when you want to like and share. And that's right. What I was getting to, and I was telling my story. Mm-hmm. Like, it had to take a complete stranger saying, yo, she's on YouTube and she's doing this and Cleotrapa is doing this with her. Like, mm-hmm. it took that for y'all to be like, yo, that's my friend. Fuck you and the friendship at this point, because... I'm only your friend in the spotlight. I'm only your friend when the cameras is out.
Right.
Nah, sis, because where you be at when I be home crying at night? Because
right.
shit is fucked. Like, the same battles I fight on that damn camera, the same battles I fight in my house.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't pick up the phone and check on me. You can't repost. Like,
right.
All
right. That's another thing, too. Like, when I'm sitting here having ideas about what I want to do and stuff like that, I noticed, too, that I was talking too much about it. I wasn't moving how I wanted to move or what I wanted to do. And I wasn't putting it into action. And maybe that's another thing where people, like, they want to see it before they try to support. But it's like, no, you got to be there when I'm just brainstorming. Literally, like, not just when you see I'm doing what I need to do. I'm doing this with other people. I'm collabing or whatever the case may be. Like, you need to support even with people's success stories. They be doing hair in a basement or something, like, kids running around, and then they have their own, you know, store or whatever.
And they finally grow up.
Right, and then you want to be there and support, like, no, that's not it, we're not going to do that. When I'm sitting here, you know, in my bedroom with sheets on the wall trying to take pictures, you should be like,
you need to be on the ladder holding that damn
right?
sheet up.
Yes, get on the angles. I'm dead serious.
Yeah, no, but I've noticed, but it's sometimes for our age group, it takes them having to see a stranger not being worried about doing the work
mm-hmm.
for them to step up.
Right.
And I think that it's a very hurtful process. It's so hurtful. For me... I've had days where, like, y'all know I be doing everything and anything. I have days where I'm like, for the most part, when I'm working, I'm very serious. I'll crack a joke every once in a while, a little kiki. I'm funny as fuck. We already know that. But yes, like,
hilarious.
I'll have a day where I'm just like, mute and numb.
Mm-hmm.
And a stranger could be, and I wouldn't even say a stranger because obviously you've been around me, but like someone who has no connection with me could be like, I only seen you smile 2 times today. What's wrong?
Right.
And my friends would be like, oh, bitch, here you go acting funny because I'm not even acting funny. Like, I'm depressed.
Right. I'm going through something. Where they'd be like, oh, LOL, same. Bitch, we need help.
Like,
therapy. Like, let's go.
Not I can get us a Groupon because like, at this point.
That's another thing, too, is just like, yo, I'm not going to lie. I haven't been the best friend that I could be. I get very
different. I have. I've been the best friend.
All right. Like, support wise, people know that I'm there for them. People know that if they need to call on me for whatever reason, it's cool. But you know, a lot of the time I'm by myself when I go through things. My misery don't like company. I like to be isolated, and that's not necessarily good. I'm trying, you know, I'm working on myself, but people take that as me acting funny. It's just like, bro, like, I literally just need that space to regroup. Like, I need to figure out what I want to do. I need to manifest. I need to figure it out by myself. Like, you know, and I get people that'll just be like, you know, they'll get me. They'll get the situation and they'll just be leaving me encouraging words. Like, you know, whenever you want to talk or whatever the case may be, I'm here, whatever.
But when it's people that just text my phone with the bullshit, like, oh, bitch, you acting funny now, da 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 da. No, nigga, like, I'm actually going through
it. Like, and I want us to stop acting like people are acting funny when they isolate themselves.
Right.
Now, there could be the you know, occasion that they are acting funny, mm-hmm. but it could be that they're going through something. And you hitting me up saying, oh, you acting funny when I'm really going through something, it's not going to make me want to talk to you
It's
anymore.
Like, damn, hi, hello.
Right, I'm not, but I'm not going to want to talk to you anymore because, like, at this point...
Let me act funny.
That was rude. Like...
If you think I'm acting funny, let it be I'm acting funny. Right?
And I get it. And like, I do get what some people are coming from when they say, like, you know, like, there's a way that you go about it. Because there is. You know, when you need to isolate yourself, I do think that we should be communicating that. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, like, I'm going through something. I don't want to talk about it. I just really need a moment to myself. Mm-hmm. That's easier than making someone feel some type of way. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I get both sides of it. But I, as me, as a person that I am, when I be like, yo, I post on Instagram, I'm out for a few days, mm-hmm. down for reconstruction or something. Like, I take that opportunity and I say something. I may not hit you up individually and say mm-hmm. anything, but it's there. You know that I'm not acting funny. And for you to assume that, right. that makes me assume that you're the one who really acting funny because, like, I'm not going to hold you. When people hit me up like, yo, you, oh, this bitch acting funny. It's because you're acting funny. That's how I see things. Right. Like I said, I could be wrong. I'm not going to sit here and act like my way of thinking is right. Mm-hmm. But it just makes me feel like you're the one that's being shifty. It's not me.
Right.
Listen.
Like I said, I just feel like me and my old self, like, I felt like I was just so supportive and there for other people. And I'm always on call, whatever the case may be, that I was putting myself last on everything. And it's like, now that I'm taking the time to, like, regroup, work on myself, work on my mental health, work on things that I want to work on and be creative, it's like, now you're seeing that as me acting funny. And it's like, no, like, I'm not available to you as I was back then. And it's like, I feel like people should be more understanding, like, damn, I'm working on myself. Like, why are you not giving me that same respect that I gave you when you were going through what you were going through, you know?
Right.
So it's like, damn. And it's funny because I recently just went through this.
Tell the story, sis.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Share as much as you want to. Nah, because this story, this is a real life situation that they need to hear about.
Right.
You, share as much as you want to share.
Right. I feel like in the future, this will definitely be a video because there's so much that went on. But, you know, recently, me and I consider a really close friend of mine, like, literally, like, my best friend. We've been friends since middle school kind of thing, like, you know, we stopped being friends. And, you know, she hit me up, she came around, she does the thing where she disappears a lot and then she'll pop back up and we'll be, you know, conversing again about what's going on and stuff like that, and she'll disappear again. I give her that time she needs because she always communicates to me that she needs to take time to herself to figure things out. And, you know, she is a mother, so obviously I can't say anything about that. I'm not gonna be like, oh, you're acting funny, you're doing what you felt like was best for you, especially you being a mother,
right?
So, you know, the very last time, and to be honest, I'm an empath. I can feel when something is off with somebody, like the slightest little behavior or whatever the case may be, or just you doing certain things, like not commenting on something or not liking something or saying something a certain way. I can feel the shift in the energy towards me. So it was funny because a few months before this even happened, I was like to my friend at the time, I'm like, you know, I feel like my best friend doesn't want to be my best friend anymore. And he's like, why do you say that? And I'm just like, you know, well, this is happening, such and such is happening. And then, you know, lo and behold, when she came back around, she spent like 2 days with me. And it was me and all my other friends. And the very next day, I got a message. Basically, her saying, you know, she doesn't want to be friends with me anymore. She felt like the relationship is draining and she doesn't have the time for it or whatever the case may be. Cool. You want to focus on yourself or your son and everything like that. So what can I really say to that? You know, you felt like I'm draining. You feel like, you know, you can't invest the time in this friendship like you feel like, and you're trying to better yourself for your son. I can't argue with that. If that's how you feel, if anybody feels like I'm being toxic towards them or draining to them or whatever the case may be, I will give them the green light to walk out. Because I would never want anybody to stay just because of the fact that I've known them for a long time or whatever. But it was hurtful, I'm not going to lie. Like, nobody talks about friendship heartbreaks. That shit sucks, bro. Just as much as any romantic fucking relationship. But that shit sucked. Like, I was crying for a couple days.
I'm sorry, I just got a text message.
I was crying and I was like, damn, that's crazy. And I called it and it was just like, it was a lot. But, you know, a couple of weeks goes by. She hits me up again about something totally random. Like, everything was just dandy. Like, you know, she just popped up like any other time. And it was kind of just like, I'm confused. What's going on? Was I, am I being punked? Like, where are the cameras? Like, I don't get it. And, you know, I'm just like, I communicate to her. Like, I'm kind of confused on where you're at right now because last time we spoke, such and such happened. And she basically expressed to me, you know, she's going through things. And it didn't have anything to do with me. And, you know, when she's going through things, she doesn't like to involve people, whatever it can be. All understandable feelings, because sometimes I feel that way as well. But it was just the way that she went about it. You know, it was like, you said it's not about me, but the paragraph you sent me literally was about me. And then it's like, you said you didn't have the time to invest in this friendship, but now you have the time to do it. It was just confusing. And honestly, right now, me personally, I don't want to deal with anything like that. Like, I don't want to deal with somebody just keep coming in and out of my life when they feel like,
right,
when they see fit. So, I basically communicated, you know, right now, I'm really not even trying to, I'm basically going to leave it where you left it, kind of thing. Like, I want to do this with the direction that I'm going with, how I want to deal with things and my mental health and stuff like that. It's just not that direction. And, you know, she kind of just went off on me, like, oh, you were supposed to be the aunt, da da da, and, like, we've been friends for so long, and if you felt like I wasn't being a good friend, you should have communicated that, or whatever case it be. Never bashed during that paragraph, never said nothing. The whole paragraph was literally just me, hey, listen, I want to move forward in a certain way. I want to be better as a person. I want to be better in my friendships. Like, this right now, I'm just going to leave it where we left, like, where you left it. And I just felt like she wasn't giving me that same respect that I gave her when she first initially sent me that paragraph. So it was kind of just confusing. Like, I don't understand, like, where I went wrong. Like, you know what I mean? I can't.
Do you want me to tell you where you went wrong?
I mean, listen.
As a supportive friend, and I've been supportive since day one.
Right.
I literally tell you how it is and right, all that. You went wrong by allowing a bitch to walk in and out your life when she wanted to. That's where you went wrong, friend.
I mean,
and that's where you go wrong a lot of the time because you're too damn understanding. Yeah, and that's something that I've had to deal with in the past as well, just being too understanding. It's okay for you, for people to take time for themselves. It's more than okay.
Mm.
But don't leave me in the dark while you're doing it and then expect me to be all hunky-dory and all cool because you done shitted on me real quick.
Right.
And people are like, oh, well, it's because you're insecure with yourself because of that. No. Because I'm going through it. Now, if you both were just ghosting on each other's all willy-nilly, and and then now all of a sudden your feelings are hurt,
right,
it's like, okay, Cheyenne, like, no.
Right.
But if you've said to her, I'm going through X, Y, and Z, and she's decided, like, we're going to get through this together, and then when the shoe's on the other foot, and it's like, no, I'm just gonna ghost everyone. Like, that's not good.
But it's just like, even then, I was still, even when she said, you know, feel me, I'm going to ghost real quick because I got to deal with certain things, I would be like, you know, I'm here. If you want to talk or whatever case it be, I would try to, you know, hit her up, check up on her. I would never get a response back. So it's kind of just like, I don't understand. Like, I feel like I did everything that I could as a friend and I was completely shut out and I wasn't given a chance to do, you know, anything. And it's kind of just like, you cut that situation off to then try to revive it. You can't bring back the
dead. Right, but and that's where you went wrong by reviving situations.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you went wrong. Stop reviving situations. Listen, when the motherfucker bounce, let him bounce.
Right.
When a nigga burn the bridge, boom. Right. If you burn a bridge, it's not just gonna magically come back together.
Right.
If it's in Connecticut, they don't ever fix anything broken here, yo. So it's just that. But like,
they fix your shit for like 10 years.
Nah, because you know the bridge that's downtown by between the juvenile detention center and the fucking fire department? Back in the 90s, you could walk over that shit. Since I've been alive, I've never seen anyone walk over that bridge.
Not but it's like, the city.
No, because I'm sick and tired of stuff that's happening in Bridgeport. And I promise you there will be some change because they got people in office now who are... They ain't playing when it comes to that. So I appreciate it. But, no, but, like, You burning a, like, you can't keep allowing people to burn bridges with you and then you hold their hand and walk them back across. Mm. That's irresponsible on your part.
That's the same thing with support, though. It's kind of just like, bro, you can't be here.
But you have to know when enough is enough.
Right. True.
You can't expect, if a motherfucker playing you mm-hmm. and you keep letting them play you, they gonna keep playing, Cheyenne. Right. Like, right. Especially if it's my ass. I'm gonna keep playing until I ain't got no more access.
That's it. Like,
I am a little toxic on Tuesdays.
We are recording this on December 8th.
A Tuesday. But nah, like, you can't expect people to not, when they know that you're going to give them that access, you can't expect them not to come back. Because they know you're going to give them access. It's that time when you're like, you see how she reacted because she didn't get access anymore?
Yeah, she was like, I'm more shocked than sad now. And it's kind of like, you're shocked. Because...
But the thing that really baffled me in this situation, because Cheyenne didn't lay everything out, but what's really baffling me in this situation is that she told Cheyenne to stop letting people take advantage of her.
Right.
And when Cheyenne finally stood up for herself, this bitch was... she was shook. Yo, oh my God! Wow!
No, it's that monkey that shocked monkey. Yo, that's just. I was just like, wow. It's like, bro, I'm finally taking your advice on something, and I'm not allowing something to happen. And it's like, you're shocked. Literally, her words were, "You gave people in the past chance after chance after chance, and when I mess up one time as a friend, you're ready to cut it off. This is not. It wasn't a one-time thing. It was happening repeatedly." But literally translating that, you're basically saying, okay, you've let people treat you like shit in the past. You should continue to let me treat you like shit. And no, I'm sorry. It's just not, I'm not going to keep doing it to myself.
Right.
Like,
and I'm proud of you for taking that moment. I think that's something that needs to be celebrated.
It was hard. It was really hard because it's just like, I'm a person that's like, damn, like, I've been through so much with this person. I've done so much with this person. Like, how do I just, you know, cut this off? Like, how do I just walk away from something, you know? And it's kind of just like, I gotta, like I said, be working on myself. I need to start being nice to myself. I need to start, you know, telling people when enough is enough. Like, stop allowing things to happen. Because a lot of the situations that I've been in have been because I kept allowing them. And me recognizing that, it's definitely a hard pill to swallow. And it's a process, but again, like, that's the same thing, like I was saying with support, like, you can't keep fucking these people over and expecting
them to be there.
Yeah, like,
and it all streams from lacking a support system. Mm-hmm.
Because
a lot of us have been fucked over in our households, and a lot of the time before, I would let people back in my life because of how my dad treated me. Mm. And my dad would come and go and come and go. And it took me being like a teenager, like, yo, no, it's rap boss.
Right.
And you see how I am with my dad now. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that he actually texted me today, actually. He texted me today at 3:24. Good afternoon. How are you? What's going on? And I struggle. Okay. This is way off topic, but I'm about to tell y'all. Mm-hmm. So y'all know a few weeks ago, I got the award, and it was something that was, he was able to view it via YouTube. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, shared the link to everyone. Now, I decided to share the link with my dad because I needed the opportunity to shut you the fuck up. I'm not gonna lie. I needed that opportunity. Uh-huh. And I'm reading right from, Cheyenne is my witness. I'm reading right from here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I sent him the link. He told me that the link was too long.
Wow. So yep. I'm giving you...
I sent the link. You could clearly see that I was in the video the way I sent it. Mm-hmm. And he said that it was too long. It was too much for him to watch right now. He'll watch it later. And I explained that is that's me accepting my award. Now you're mad excited. Fuck you. And that's how I feel about it. Like, you didn't support me by just watching it. You didn't want to understand me by just watching it.
Mm. I'm giving you the opportunity.
I'm giving you the opportunity.
Right.
And it's too long. And a lot of people that... I talk about my dad often, but not in depth. A lot of people always ask me, like, why don't you talk about your dad? Because he's a non-motherfucking factor. Mm-hmm. You want the role as a parent, but My mom has heard my, you know, she wasn't the absolute, but she's amazing mom. Mm-hmm. But she didn't do her best with certain things. Mm-hmm. But she's learned from her mistakes. She's a great woman. Mm-hmm. But my parent, my mom, right, would never tell me that a link was too long for her to watch. Mm-hmm. She would say, "What is this? It's an hour and a half. I'm currently busy." Right. And I would say, "That's my award. You know, that's me giving my acceptance speech for my award." And mm-hmm. she would say, "Exactly where in this video are you doing it?" Mm-hmm. Or she'll say, "Well, because I am busy, I cannot watch it now."
Right.
And that's the difference between a parent and a sperm donor.
Right. And honestly, that's
a whole other topic. Saying,
me and my mom, I'm like you were saying, she's not a horrible mom at all. She did what she had to do as a young mother, you know. She is not a horrible mom. There's definitely things that she could have improved on and still can improve on. But it's still a thing of every time I say something, it's, "Oh, you just think I'm a horrible mom." And it's like, no, I'm not saying that. It's just X, Y, and Z. You know what I mean?
Right.
But with my mom, you know, she's there sometimes with certain things. Like, if I let her know about certain things, but it's never really like, you know, "Oh, what's your next move? What are you doing now?" type of thing. We don't have conversations like that. Regarding my sperm donor, he's blocked.
Boop, boop, boop,
he is blocked. I continue to not have that relationship with him. That was my decision because, again, I'm not for letting people in and out of my life. I recognize that he was, I guess, trying to try. But it was, at that point, I just feel like, maybe down the line I might want to revisit it. I don't know.
Definitely proceed with caution when you do decide to revisit.
Right. The person that raised me, he's cool. You know, it's another thing. We don't really talk like that. Like, but it's another thing of parents wanting to be reached out to. And I definitely think it's a 50-50 thing.
Okay, no. I think when you are an absentee parent, mm-hmm. and you fucked up my trust, you need to be bending over backwards, doing flips, doing jumping jacks and squats to make an effort for me to know that you are serious about being a parent in my life.
Right.
That's how I feel. And you know, someone else may feel like I'm wrong, but that's genuinely how I feel. Mm-hmm. When you are the absentee parent, you have to prove to me that I can trust you, because I don't.
Right. I already got a fucked up support system. I don't need you adding.
The people who stayed done had me fucked up. Right. You leaving was a whole nother situation.
Right.
And it's like, how dare you want me to reach out? First of all, you put me here.
Right.
I didn't ask to be here.
Right.
And you just leave, and when you want to be back, you think I'm supposed to be okay with that? I'm really, and it's not only with my father, mm-hmm. but I literally had a conversation with Jackie yesterday talking about how I'm sick and tired of people trying to stick around just in case.
Right.
You keep your foot in the door just in case you might need me. Just in case I might take it off and I might swing you in on the boat.
Right.
If you ain't been to the table with me thus far, you ain't getting a seat. That's how it is with me. It's so annoying. Like, and people, absentee parents are the reason why a lot of us are fucked up the way we are.
Right.
And have a hard time trusting. I have a friend, I will not say his name. He's an amazing guy.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. amazing guy. I have a hard time trusting him mm-hmm. because of my fucking dad.
Right. I feel like I have attachment issues.
I don't get attached. Like,
wow, must be nice. Because I it's not that I have attachment issues. It's kind of just like, I don't know. Me personally, I give out those. I have a problem with trying to fix people. That's what I.
And that's a problem.
A problem. That's definitely a problem. And I feel like, you know, I try to give the love and support that I wish I had, kind of thing. But I end up giving it to the wrong people. And, you know, like I said, I end up in the situations that I end up in. But once I build that bond with somebody, and it's to a point where it's like, you know, I care about this person, I love this person, I don't want to see harm done to this person, it's hard for me, like I said, to just detach from them. So, me trying to figure out where a lot of my issues stem from, it's a process. It's definitely a process. But I know it stems from the relationship that me and my mother have, and the relationship that me and sperm donor have, and me and the person that raised me have. And, you know, like I said, it's a work in progress, but recognizing those issues and trying to change that is a big part, like, of it. So, yeah, man. This support, like, just like I said, going back to it, just having people around, just letting them know, like, feel me, just hitting them up, or them checking on me or anything like that, it means a lot. I know it might not seem like it. I know, like, my mother tells me all the time, you just seem like you really just don't give a fuck, like, or if I'm excited about something, it's more internalized than it is, like, on the outside kind of thing. Like, I don't know, it's just how I am. Like, right. Even when I was taking acting classes, they're like, yo, do you have a problem with showing emotion? Like, were you shamed for showing emotion? And it's just like, it's not that. It's just like, I don't know, like,
it's hard.
It's really
y'all
hard.
Y'all hear this? Y'all see, parents that are listening to this, I know my mom won't listen, but parents that are listening to this, you have to take all this, and not only people who are parents right now, but if you plan on being a parent, you get a head start on doing the work to make sure that you and your kid have a great relationship, making sure that your kid is capable of supporting their friends and in a healthy manner, and later down the line, supporting your spouse, because being in a relationship with a man or a woman don't support you, that's a lot, especially if you're married, right. Never mind dating.
You took vows. Before God. That's legal as well. It's on paper. So
if you fuck up my wedding vows, just know I'm gonna be the happiest widow alive.
Oh, not a widow.
A widow. Okay. Just know.
Nah, that's a lot though, especially if you're in a relationship with somebody that has a mental illness. That's a lot. That's a lot.
It's a lot being in a relationship with someone who doesn't know how to love.
Right.
Like that alone.
Emotionally, just
thank you for coming to my TED Talk, because that was it. That was it.
I can't. No, that is a lot. That is a lot. Like, and when you're in a relationship with somebody, you see all different sides of them. So it can't just be, you can't just stick around when it's just good and gravy or whatever. Like, you see them good, bad, and ugly. And you gotta make that decision if you want to stick around or not, or if you can handle that or not, or if you want to communicate or not. Like, if you're recognizing, if somebody is telling you something is bothering them, don't invalidate their feelings as well. Like, that's another thing with support. Like, don't invalidate somebody's feeling about how they see a certain situation, or, you know, if they're interpreting certain things a different way. If somebody has been in an abusive relationship, like, whether it was verbally, emotionally, you know, physically, you gotta understand certain things. Like, you might not be that person, but there's a lot of things that people have gone through, and it's basically brought up triggers for them.
Yeah.
So trying to understand that, it's a lot, and, you know, trying to, it's a long process. It's definitely a long process. Like, me dealing with relationships with people, or fucking shit, entanglements.
Definition of entanglements.
I can't, no, like, me being in situations with anybody romantically, it's a lot. For me,
bruh.
And like,
I don't even think I have a romantic side.
I can't. You're not the Texas, but I'm like, bro.
First of all, I think I'm a pyromaniac on the low. Oh, I love fire. Oh, so if I walk in a room and I see some candles, this is a science experiment.
No. Y'all heard it here first.
Listen, I love
it. And I ends up on the news.
No, I would never kill someone over candles, because then that's not, like, I can't get a great hypothesis from that. Okay. My solution's not going to be able to. I like science. Okay. But yeah, you guys get the point. But no, like, when people do stuff for me, I really be sitting there, like, with the blank stare. Like, what the fuck?
Like, you don't know how to take it, right? Like, it's just weird. Like,
but I do, but it's weird, because I can't take stuff from you, but I will take your support. And that's the point of this episode, is to let it be known that we need support and that y'all not supporting us enough.
Right.
But I do struggle with taking gifts.
Right.
Unless it's food.
I can.
You can take me on a date. I'll take the free food.
I'm coming.
You can bring me a plate of food.
I will literally not, like, anytime a guy try to offer to do anything for me, I'll be like, no, I got it.
I struggle with it.
I'll be like, nah, bro.
I'm learning with my really, really good friend. I'm trying to learn because, like, I don't know what it is. I'm trying to learn. And, okay, I don't know what it is, not because of him, but because of me. Mm-hmm. I don't have emotions, and I'm having a hard time trying to figure out what the fuck is happening. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he's like, yo, let's go do this. I'm like, sure. And then and then we get to the restaurant or wherever we're going. He's like, can I have a ticket for two, please? My ass pulls out my credit card. He's like, I got it.
See, that it will be what? So weird. I'm like, yo, we can go half at least.
I'll be telling you, you want me to cash out the bag?
Like, right.
He's like, dudes ain't never do nothing for you before. I ain't never let them. Yo, when I had people do stuff for me before, but it's hard for me to let people do it.
Nah, I've never really had anybody do anything like that when it comes to, like, romantic. But again, you know, with the wrong people. But the last person that I was dealing with was really, really there, like, supportive. Like, yo, we're going to figure this shit out together.
He was supportive and toxic.
He was. But, you know, a lot of times we were the only people or support system that we had at certain moments. So... You know, it's
I'm just like gonna said, be. I'm gonna be the one to say it. I don't like any of Cheyenne's relationships.
None of my friends do. None of my friends do. And like I said, me dealing with certain people was a reflection of how I felt about myself at the time, though, too, as well. And that's me also a very big pill to swallow. But I've come a long way with my journey with certain things. But yeah,
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Going back to, you know, the person that I was dealing with. He was really supportive. Like, you know, like I said, he would be like, we're gonna figure this shit out together, or whatever the case may be, or feel me, if he came up on something, he would be like, I'm gonna make sure you're straight. And feel me, he still says that to this day. I'm gonna still make sure you're
straight. Fuck that man.
Oh, we're not doing that. but he still says it to this day, like, you know, I'm gonna make sure you're straight. And that's something that's so foreign to me. Like, even with certain things, he's like, yo, you've really never had anybody, like, be there. I'm like, no, nigga. All he says is it was broke. So, no, we stop. All these people that I've dealt with in my life have been, like, no, like, they haven't been it. That just wasn't it. Like, they weren't care supportive. None of that. So it's like, bro, like, you do it. I just kind of just like, what do you want? Like, are you trying? Like, are you scheming? Are you plotting? Like, what are you trying to do? That ass, like, it's just like, bro, like, I really, man, you're annoying. But I feel like, yo, a lot of the time when I am dealing with somebody that's actually willing to support me or whatever the case may be, it's so hard to receive it, literally. And that's another thing that I do that's fucking toxic to people and could be draining to them. It's like, I put them through the ringer and through the test to actually see if they're actually down and there for me and is actually going to support me. And, you know, they'll go through all of the bullshit, but in the process, it's not healthy for them, you know? And that's something that I definitely need to work on when I have relationships with people and you know, receiving and giving support. So, like I said, it's a learning experience. Like, y'all don't understand how much support affects people. It's deep. Like, it goes from relationships.
I told you, it all starts at home. Right. And it trickles on down. Mm-hmm. And y'all got me fucked up. Because if you, like, first of all, I'm a very supportive person. Because I'm supportive because I know how it feels not to have support. And I support just about anybody. Mm-hmm. It'd be strangers I'd be supporting. Like,
yo, I'd be sharing people business all right. The time. They order shit.
I never see this person a day in my life. But I support people because I also, and I genuinely and truly will always support black people. Mm-hmm. I don't have to know who you are.
Yes.
Right, no. And that's the thing. I want my community
to
be put on. And it starts from my friend group. My friend group is a part of my community. And I have to start. It all starts at home, y'all. And it trickles down.
Right.
If our household supported each other, mm-hmm. and our friendships supported each other, and, you know, career and all that wise, mm-hmm. our community would, there would be nobody looking at the other person as competition.
Right.
It wouldn't be no half-assness going on, stink looks, underlying motives, mm-hmm. Unpure intentions. Like, we would just be good. But y'all gotta stop with this underhanded bullshit that y'all doing.
Indeed. Like, You could be, y'all could be all doing the same shit or selling the same shit, but y'all can do it a different way. It just be yourself. Like, you don't have to be mad at somebody, and everybody's journey is different. Just because somebody's blowing up at a certain time don't mean you're never gonna get your blow up. Like, and I just feel like a lot of people want to be shiesty to try to get the top kind of thing, and it's kind of like, it's just not it, bro. You like we said before, you burn a bridge with somebody, that's it. And you could have opened a whole new world if you was just genuine and just, you know. But instead, you wanted to just get ahead and, feel me, not be supportive of people. Like,
now look at you. Dumb.
Right. Drowning.
But people need to understand, everything you do to someone, it's gonna come back at you.
True.
And it may not come back at you per se, but your kids gonna have to experience it. And that's something that my uncles, like, I sit down and I talk to them sometime, and they be like, yeah, I skeeted on that bitch back, and then, right, like, nah, like, I fucked this bitch strudel over. Yeah, toaster strudel the bitch. He done fucked her over.
Yo.
He left her stranded somewhere, and then what happened? He has a daughter. Now he's like, bro,
if that ever happened to
that's
her,
your karma. Right!
No, you need to have the same energy before you have it. That's another thing too with dudes. Have the same energy before you have
with people in general. But it's not only with dudes, it's with females too.
True.
Because the same way you done decided that you're gonna key that man's car, how would you feel if your son driving your little car around,
right,
and somebody come key that shit and got your car because it's yours and it's not your son's?
Right.
He over here being a little hoochie poppy, and you over here, like, see, yeah, nah, y'all be doing the most.
No, but for real though, it's like, you can't be this toxic person, and then when you have this child, then you want to try to be
pure daddy of the year, change life.
Like,
I shoot you again.
No.
Kiki, Kiki.
You might act like you wasn't just...
Right!
Okay.
Like, you ain't have me bent over this.
So, changed within the last week. Oh, okay.
Pastor Wilson-ass motherfuckers.
Right, like...
You bending me over and preaching the gospel the next day, sir.
And that's Sunday.
Sir.
In that church.
Then when I give my testimony, you want me to shut up.
Duh. I'm crying, but it's like, bro, like, don't... This is the thing, like, and this is another thing too, you shouldn't wait until something big happens in your life or traumatic happens in your life to try to change something. Recognize that shit now. But it's just like, again, some people don't even recognize it as a problem.
And it's, that could definitely be the case, but our, you know, as women that are doing the work,
mm-hmm,
you have to know to address it. I address things two times before I, one, wild out,
yeah,
or two, leave your ass the fuck alone.
Mm-hmm.
If I got a wild out on you and I stick around, when I finally leave, oh, it's gonna be some prices to be paid.
Right. I'll be telling people, that's another thing too. I be giving people chance after chance after chance, but when I'm actually finished and done and over with, it's done. You will not come back. There will be no revisitation of anything. Like, and it's like, yo, people be shocked, and it's like, bro, I told your ass. Like, literally, like, I've told people before that I've dealt with, like, yo, once it's done, it's done.
Not facts.
I'm not. It is what it is. And you're going to see a whole different side of me. You think I'm all nice and all this sort of shit now, but wait until you actually cross me and I don't come back, my nigga. It's going to be a whole new attitude. And you can't be mad. You did some bullshit, you know? I tried. That's it. I'm done trying. Like, all of that effort that I put in will be put into something else.
Bye.
Exactly. So.
Bye. That's how I look at the situation.
Right. And it's like, don't try to come to me now that you realize that I was the person that was in your corner, that was actually supporting you, loving you, doing whatever the case may be. Don't try to recognize it now that I'm gone. No, you should have recognized it when I was there. That's another thing too. Don't support people when they're just here. Like, if they're just, you know, if they leave the earth, don't try to be like, oh, da da da, all this other stuff. No, you should have did the same thing when I was here and alive and well. Like... I don't get it.
Y'all can't come back for me. That's it. That's all I'm saying. That's my two cents. You fuck me over, cool. I'm gonna learn my lesson. Don't ever think you fucking me over is a loss for me, because it's not.
Right.
It's either a lesson learned or I won.
Right.
I'm gonna win this battle, and I'm gonna learn something from it. I'm gonna move on with my life. I'm gonna watch you be miserable on the other side.
Right.
And that's
grass
it.
Is
don't come. Don't.
Greener on the other side.
It's literally greener where you water it. And people need to understand that.
and they need to stop shitting on people. You can help me water my lawn over here and I can help you water yours, but you're not finna take my seeds and fertilizer and try to bring it over there with yours and try to stunt on me. Yeah. Nigga, that's technically my grass. You know, everything that created the foundation for that grass, you took from me.
Right.
So give me my grass too.
If you want to be technical, shit, this is my lawn. Fuck you talking about. Like, it's just a lot of shit with people, and it's just like, yo, again, that step of recognizing what you're doing wrong or how you're making people feel or whatever the case may be and trying to change that. Like, and if somebody is telling you, at least listen. Like, don't just, oh, whatever, like, oh, it's not this, oh, it's not that way, or I'm not this way. Like, obviously somebody's saying it for a reason. Right. Obviously somebody is saying it for a reason. Like, but some people can't take it, and it is what it is. I guess I have to go through, you know, something big to actually be like, all right, maybe what they were saying was true type of thing. Like, bro, that's crazy. Support
is really big, and I think that's something that we need to keep practicing, and obviously we set the tone for the way we want things to go in our lives, but we also have to actively do the work. Mm-hmm. And don't require something from someone that you can't reciprocate.
Right.
If you're asking for, you know, a person to check on you once a week and all that, you should also be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Do the work.
I have a trash ass memory. So I can literally think about somebody.
But I get where you're about to go with this. Yeah, you have a bad memory and you can think about somebody and it'll slip your mind. You have to hold up your end of the bargain.
Right.
You literally have to do it. Or if you think about somebody, don't put that shit off for later. Just hit them up right then and there.
Right.
What you're doing is not that important. And even if you are at work, there are things that you could do. Like, there's things that we can be doing that hold us accountable for things.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are at work and you can't, you know, move away from your desk to call that person, you could write a note.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Call this person, da da da.
A reminder or something like that.
Right, it's too many things for us to do. There's too many ways for us to actively do our work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like for people to just like, make it seem like it's all one-sided. That's literally not what it is.
Right.
It's not that at all.
Because it's just like, if somebody be like, well, hey, you know, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? I'm like, well, why don't you do this? The phone works both ways. I don't know. Like, that's another thing, too. If a nigga bring you on a date, you better make sure to date.
Oh, gosh. Not her going into dating.
Nah, but
it's support and stuff like it, everything that you require from someone else should be something that you can reciprocate.
Right.
And that you can provide.
Mm-hmm.
On any, whether it's support, whether it's money, whether it's gifts, whatever it is, you should be. If my thing with all of my friends is, I expect you, everyone, to be there for me when I need them, to genuinely hear me out, and to genuinely put me in my place when it's necessary.
Mm.
Because I do that for you guys.
Right.
Now, if I fuck up and you're in my face when I fucked up and you didn't tell me, I'm holding out against you. Mm-hmm. Fuck you for not telling me where I fucked up.
Right.
Because the outside is not going to have a problem with telling me I fucked up. And it's not going to matter to me as much as it would if my friends told me that I fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
a lot.
It's sad.
But dating, especially with the whole support thing, if you see somebody is trying to do something and they're excited about something or whatever the case may be, even if it's not your place of interest or whatever the case may be, just seeing them excited, just be like, oh, you know, like, good job, I'm proud of you, congratulations, oh, what can I do for whatever the case may be. Like, me trying to get into modeling, me being a YouTuber now, and me doing certain things, like, creatively, like, I'm not gonna lie, I have my lingerie shoot. That's another thing I wanted to get in. I have my lingerie shoot. Cool. Certain people, or certain dudes, whatever the case, feel like certain things shouldn't be posted or whatever the case, and they feel like it should be only seen by them or whatever the case may be. If I'm a model, this is my artwork, this is what I'm doing, and this is what I'm gonna pursue. I expect you to support me wholeheartedly, regardless of, you know.
Ooh, see, that's a tough one for me.
It is, but with certain things, obviously, if I was in a relationship, I would talk to you about, listen, this is what's going to happen, whatever the case may be.
I think we and by we, I mean people in general, need to understand that you could explain something to me and it's okay in the moment of an explanation, but when it unfolds, it's different.
Right.
And I think we need to understand that that's something that should be validated.
True.
And because you feel like you explained it to me previously and I necessarily understood you, that doesn't mean I'm completely in agreement with you.
Mm.
Just because then I was okay with things doesn't mean that now that I'm not, you should be like, oh, you know, you were fine with it before, I understand. Like, it's those conversations that take a turn with things.
Right.
So, I mean...
That's what I think too, yeah.
I personally, as a single woman, have no problem with putting my lingerie pictures online. Mm. And I'd say, oh man, whatever the fuck, we single, whatever. Mm. Now when we get in relationships, lingerie shoots are things that would be topsy-turvy. And I would hope that you would understand that.
Right.
I think what women, because if your man had a boxer shoot,
are you asking me?
No, I'm saying. Oh, just like in general. Like, you want your, you know, significant other to support your lingerie shoot, but should the shoe be on the other foot,
mm-hmm.
how are you going to feel about it? And don't say, oh, I'm going to be fine with it because that's what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
because you're not the one, you didn't experience it yet.
Right.
And I think we need to experience what we want before we expect someone to support it.
Right.
Because if your man... post his little Tommy Hilfiger shoe,
mm-hmm.
and his eggplant is all out, and now you feel some type of way because what you seen in the comments, but you were supportive of it before.
Right.
So it's the same thing as him being supportive of you.
True.
There's also different layers of support, and we ain't... Yeah, I got other stuff to do. I can't really dig into all that.
It's definitely a lot to unpack.
But I think the biggest thing is the biggest thing that I want everyone to take away from this episode is...
support motherfuckers.
Support people, and obviously support them to an extent. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you feel like it's not being reciprocated on your end, maybe you need to support with a long handled spoon and just share the shit on Instagram
right.
and leave them alone. Also, you just, I think we need to be okay with not getting support.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just continue to expect it because, oh, I gave this person support, shit
right.
like that. It's just,
you should want to do things because that's what you genuinely want to do.
Yeah.
Because you're expecting something out of it.
Right. That's all our TED Talk for today, kids.
Blind motherfuckers.
No. They're not motherfuckers. They're my friends.
Y'all could be friends, too.
Nah, not them. They're not motherfuckers. No. She's being so rude to you guys. You guys are not motherfuckers.
Yeah, listen, that's a term.